NASA has decided to extend its Mars rover missions for 5 more months. Spirit, the first rover to land, has finished its 3-month primary mission, but both it and Opportunity still run like new. One challenge for scientists has been that the Martian day is slightly longer than a day on Earth. The rover team has been on that shifting schedule for 3 months, waking up at a different time every day. It has taken such a toll that the researchers have decided to go back to Earth time. Operating a sophisticated robot from more than 100 million miles away also presents unique challenges. Scientists and engineers have to sift through mountains of data each day and then make decisions within a matter of hours about what to tell the rover to do next. NPR science correspondent Joe Palca visited NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena and has this rare behind-the-scenes report on rover operations.
It's Monday morning, and Jim Erickson has a problem. Erickson is mission manager for the Opportunity rover. His rover is not where it's supposed to be. First thing each day, engineers send the rover instructions that tell its onboard computers what to do that day. At the end of the day, the rover radios back to Earth, giving engineers data from sensors and cameras that will show whether everything worked as planned. Engineers on the rover work in your standard issue control room filled with dozens of consoles that display the data on how each of the rover instruments is working. Standing at the back of the room, Erickson explains that yesterday the rover was supposed to roll straight up the rim of the small crater it landed in and then make a right turn to get to a bright patch of soil on the surrounding plain. But that's not what happened. Erickson gestures to a picture on one of the giant display screens along the walls of the control room. You can clearly see that instead of rolling up the rim, the rover simply dug in its wheels and went nowhere. Erickson says it did make the right turn, but it's still inside the crater.
New plan. We're just going to continue on this path since we seem to be able to make progress and just go at a slight angle to the slope and out and then go over to a different bright patch.
Engineers radioed the new plan to the rover earlier today. In a few minutes, they're expecting a signal back to see if their plan worked.
Telecom flight. Go flight. Can you see if Odyssey has started their downlink yet? It has not established a link yet, and I'll let you know when it does.
The downlink is coming from the Mars Odyssey spacecraft in orbit around Mars. It will relay Opportunity's data to JPL. Establishing the link is taking longer than expected. Usually, the only ones in the control room are the handful of engineers sitting at the various consoles. But today, a dozen scientists and engineers have drifted in, anxious to see if the rover made it out of its predicament. Finally, telecom engineer Monica Danos sees good news on her screen.
Here we go. We got it. Flight telecom?
Yeah. Sky telecom?
Confirmed data is flowing.
Then, a few more minutes of anxious waiting, and the first pictures begin to appear.
What's the deal there?
Okay.
And so, another hurdle successfully cleared. The pictures show Opportunity is now several yards past the crater's edge.
Flight is safe to say we're out of the crater.
I would agree with you. Very good.
The scientists in the control room clear out quickly. They have to hurry upstairs to a meeting where they'll plan the scientific tasks for the next day on Mars. In a few hours, they'll have to tell the engineers what they want. It takes the engineers several hours to translate those wishes into instructions to send the rover. And it all has to happen before next daybreak on Mars. Harvard University astrobiologist Andy Knoll is chairing the first of 3 scientific meetings this day. Knoll stands in front of 2 large projection screens, using a wireless mic to address the 24 or so scientists in the room. Soil scientists, geologists, spectroscopists, atmospheric scientists, all wanting to use the rover instruments. Knoll says there are several priorities now that Opportunity is out of the crater.
One is, if at all possible, we want to drive to within, say, 2 meters or so of SCOOP and get a good image of that.
SCOOP is a rock on the inside edge of the crater that may contain additional evidence that there was once a pool of water at the Opportunity landing site. But there are objections. The rover has already taken some pictures of SCOOP. Some scientists think it's time to move on to new targets. There's also concern that getting close enough to SCOOP would trap them back in the crater they just left.
Well, it sounds like then we are pretty much in agreement that we, reluctantly or not, probably have about as good imagery of this as we're going to get.
The rovers can do lots of things, take pictures, measure the chemical and mineral composition of rocks and soil, but they can only do so much in a day. The tension is to find the right things to do. Cornell University's Jim Bell is in charge of the main rover cameras. He says, despite the diversity of scientific interests, somehow things work out.
I don't think I've, amazingly, have not seen a good knockdown, drag-out brawl among scientists on our team yet. We all work very well together. But there certainly are debates, and there's been, you know, occasionally animated discussions about which target to look at, which drive direction to make. What usually happens is it's settled for us by the rover drivers.
That's because the rover drivers get the final say about whether what the scientists want is doable without risking damage to the rover. Robert Bunce is one of the drivers. Right now, he's taking part in the master sequence meeting, where engineers take scientists' wishes and turn them into commands they can send to the rover.
Switch over to the Mossbauer, position it above New York.
Bunce has spent several hours writing commands that will allow Opportunity's twin rover, Spirit, to make measurements on a rock called Mazatzal. Scientists have identified specific targets on Mazatzal they want to study with the rover's robotic arm. Each of the targets is named for one of the 50 United States.
Turn on the IMU, then we're going to unstow the arm, position the MI above Arizona, open the dust cover of the MI, then do a series of five images in 3-millimeter increments.
As he describes each command, a simulation of the rover executes on a computer screen by his elbow. Bunce's instructions will be sent to the rover in a few hours. After that, the daily cycle starts again. This kind of round-the-clock effort has been going on since the start of January. The missions were originally scheduled to last 90 days, but now it looks like they could go through the summer or longer. Joe Palca, NPR News.